John here with session 5 of Effortless Provision. And this session, we're going to be talking about force versus flow. And last session, we talked a lot about living in the present moment and how we turn ourselves into a receiver, and then things begin to be drawn to us. But just the opposite is true when we try to force things to make them happen. How many of you have done that throughout your life? You didn't see something happen when you wanted it to, and so you began to make it happen, through whether it was through teachings or, you know, to go into all the world and get out there and make it happen, the Great Commission and all that, especially if you're in church. And depending on what circle you belong to, then the more that force will be presented in the messages. And I kind of want to dismantle that idea as it pertains to spirituality in Christ, because it's quite the opposite when you look at becoming one with Him, because He then becomes the effortless flow and nature of who we are and begins to condition us that way. As you know, quite the opposite when we just have mere religion and we have principles and ideals that cause us to come up with formulas to make something happen. And then we're left wondering, if you're really honest about it, we're left wondering, okay, was that my own strength? Was that me doing that? Or was that really God opening the door and leading? And some of you might say, well, who cares as long as it's getting done? Well, we might say that about being a Christian then, or being a Christ follower. Well, who cares? I mean, I'm living here and I can do it myself. You know, why do I need God? Kind of sounds like the same thing, because I can tell you this, I'll talk about my own life, is that when I was trying to get her done outside of Christ, I did nothing. Just like Scripture says, without me or outside of me, you can do nothing. Meaning that nothing fruitful, really. You know, I was just serving my own ego to get things done. And sometimes that wasn't bad. It was just, hey, go out there and grind it out, work 2 jobs, get a few toys, you know, pay the bills and make a living. How boring is that? Friends, really think about that. Is that boring or what? Well, it may not be to some of you, but it was to me. Because if I'm doing it in my own strength, then where is this awesome adventure, you know, about supernatural meeting the natural, the spirit realm actually shifting things around because it's pure energy, and that's what we're made of. When we fight matter with matter or try to force something with matter, then we're always going to have to sweat it out and toil it out and grind it out. It's much more fun before the fall, Adam speaking with God when he had everything drawn to him and everything was already supplied, and then he got to have fun. See, it's fun when things show up out of nowhere and you're like, whoa, I didn't do that out of my own strength. I didn't have to force something in the China shop to bust everything apart just to get to the one. Wow, this is amazing. I didn't do anything for that. And then you feel this goodness that you didn't deserve. That's the point. This mercy, this overtaking, this awesomeness, this open door, this divine encounter, this material thing showing up, and I didn't do anything for it. Exactly. That's the point of being a Christ follower. He does it all. And he doesn't lose strength or energy or have a bad attitude because he's always providing. It's the energetic field of love. It is the quantum realm. Quantum realm equals love. Love equals quantum field. And because it does, love does not get tired. Love does not get worn out. And love is always, always generous. Because that's what love is. That's who love is always generous. And who are we anyways as frail human beings in skin and bones to think that we could really take care of our own lives? I mean, some of us think we can or do because we force our way through. And we've been taught, we've been conditioned by a parent, or we've been conditioned through religion or theology that says, hey, go climb your mountain, go get it done, God's waiting on you. Okay, which mountain do I climb? Where do I go? what does that look like? Okay, who do I talk to? Exactly. You don't know that unless you're going into receiving mode and steeling yourself enough to hear the still small prompt. And when the swirly prompt comes up, then boom, you're led in a way that doesn't try to force matter for matter. It doesn't try to make it happen. It's energetic flow. It's the anointing. It's his ability in and through us, opening doors that no man could open and closing doors that no man can shut. It's the energy that we're made of. It's the frequencies of his love that cause doors to pop open. And you're like, whoa, I couldn't have done that in a million years. Exactly. So in the book, Effortless Provision, this is the kind of thing the Lord was showing me when I was walking down the beach before I entered the heart of humanity. If you read the book, you know, when I start out in the beach in Hawaii and I'm walking towards myself and Jesus. It's kind of interesting how that works in the spirit. I'm walking towards me. I'm watching me walk towards me with a big bag of my own efforts hanging over the back of my shoulders. And I didn't know it at the time, but then I'm like, whoa, I could see it. My own efforts, my own abilities. Yeah, my getting her done. It was quite the huge sack hanging on my back. It looked like the Grinch who stole Christmas, that big old sack of presents, only these weren't presents. I thought they were, but they were my own efforts. But I was kind of proud of them nonetheless. And then Jesus looks at me and smiles with that familiar smiley smirk, that one that just draws you right into his heart. He looks at me and says, oh, that's good, John. Yeah, that's great. But look at this. And he reaches up into the great unknown, reaches up and a beautiful shimmering curtain appears, and he yanks on this and says, look at this. Take a look at this, friend. And boom, nothing but opulence, awestruck, awesome, paralyzing opulence right in front of me. The wall of every gemstone imaginable appears, and then they start crashing down to the beach, and he's like, look at this, it's all yours, and it's all effortless, and it's all free. Symbolizing, I could just see somebody that's like a poverty mindset going, oh yeah, like, you know, the God condemns the rich. You know, we're not supposed to be rich. They fall into all kinds of snares, Johnny boy. What are you talking about? Really? Okay. Well, he didn't have a problem with Job being rich. He didn't have a problem with Abraham being filthy rich. He didn't have a problem with Solomon being stinking rich. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have a problem at all. If he did, he would have rebuked them all and told them all they're going to burn in the garbage dump, burn in hell, because it was causing them to be a snare. Now, of course, riches can be, if you allow it. They can take you off track in a minute if you allow them. But what he was showing me was much more than just money, much more than just diamonds and jewels and gold. He was showing me his heart. He's showing me his heart for humanity, saying, I'm all here and I'm all yours and I have everything for you, everything you have need of, including wealth. But he's showing me what heaven's made of, the substance of who he is and what he's made of. Love cannot help but be generous in every way, in every term, in every sense of the word. Generous. That's what righteousness means in one connotation. It's tzedakah in the Hebrew, and it means generosity. It means generous. That's one definition. So think about it. Jesus on the cross, he takes all our poverty, he takes all the depravity, he takes every bit of oppression and depression and everything that would harm us. And he takes it and absorbs it into himself so that he can cast forth back out and present to us a righteousness that screams generosity. It is finished, in other words. It is finished. What is finished? Well, again, everything that could harm us, everything that would take us out of alignment, everything that was misalignment, everything that was fallen, everything that was not a part of who we were originally designed to be. So here you have two sides of the story, right, in the church world today. One of them saying, you know, I'm going to live life according to my survival mentality, and then I'm going to preach that stuff. Now, they wouldn't say it like that, but that is, in fact, exactly what they're doing. Then you have the other side that's getting more and more free and becoming more and more awake to see that, wait a minute, this thing isn't about my forcing and my breaking and my pushing and my demanding my own way. No, no, no. This thing is more about me receiving. And when I receive, He does it in me and through me and for me that causes me to want to be more productive. It causes me to want to be more creative. It causes me to want to shine forth the city set on a hill, that kind of light. It causes me to want to be a brighter light, because if I'm not doing anything for this stuff, meaning that I'm not casting forth some formula or putting it together, or I'm not grinding it out or sweating it out, trying to get my own provision or my own needs met, then it's going to show forth this wonderful, beautiful, awesome, amazing, generous God that the world has no clue about. That's the God that made those people way back in Abraham's day and David's day and Solomon's day and Saul's day jealous. Made them so jealous they wanted to kill him. They saw the goodness of God and the land of the living that He was shining forth and giving to His people. Free, by the way. Free. All free. They didn't have to work for it. They have to do anything for it. That's what they were doing in Egypt. Remember when they were doing the slave labor? Busting their backs. Breaking rock and creating bricks and grinding it out 24/7. Didn't have a break. And all God wanted was, hey, I want relationship with you guys. I want relationship with these generations. Come out from among them. Come out from all that hard labor and that toil and that sweat and that forcing and that breaking. Come out from among that and come back to the oil of ease, the effortless nature that you were designed to be from before the foundation of the world and came forth in human skin to present the same. See, it's just the lies of society around us that say that we have to sweat it out. Now, let me define that a little bit more so that people don't think that I'm talking about laziness again. I think that the mature listener understands that well. But I want to reiterate this for those that just aren't quite understanding it or seeing it. It's like this. I don't want my wife or my son or any family member to have to work for me in order to get something from me. I wouldn't even think that way. Now, if you're in a survival mentality and you're still grappling with your own losses in life, meaning that your own deficiencies, then, and your hurts and wounds and pains, then of course that you're going to probably make somebody work for it. You know what I'm saying? But when you become whole, or you have a level of healing in your life and maturity, you start to see this thing in a whole new light. And you're like, wait a minute, I'm taking on the nature of this generous God. And I would never even think of making my wife work for something that she needs or wants or desires from me. You know, in fact, it's already in my heart to give her the very best of everything. And if I had the means to do it, I certainly would. Probably shower her so much, she'd have to say stop. And you do the same, right? You would do the same for your children or your spouse or someone you love. You would do the exact same thing. You know you would if you had the means to do it. And in fact, you're doing it all the time in the littlest of ways. You're always giving a meal out, or you're buying a meal for somebody. You're getting clothing or a little snack or something. You know, you're always doing it in some way, and you don't even think twice about it, right? The same with God in you. He's the one that made us that way. And so I wouldn't think of giving her the very best with, you know, and making her pay for it, creating some formula in order to get it out of me. No, that's a given. And it's always turned on. The generous nature of who I am inside of me is always turned on because Jesus is always turned on inside. And because he is, and I'm one with him, and he's one with me, then we're one big happy family always having generosity, right? So it's only when we feel scared, when we feel deficient, when we can't add up, when we're going into survival mode, we don't see the means, we're living in incoherence, then we're going to withhold. But it doesn't negate the fact and the truth that you're always generous. That is always a green light and it's always turned on. Sit and think about that for a minute, friend. Really think about that and chew on it for a minute. Is that Jesus in you, Christ in you, is always turned on with generosity. Always. He's never withholding. Although religion teaches us that he withholds sometimes to try and discipline us or teach us something. But love doesn't know any other way. Love is generous. It is the very definition of generosity. So think about that. He's always turned on with generosity. It's us. It's our mentality. It's our paradigm levels. It's our understanding that withholds. It's our pain, our trauma. You get it. So if we look at it that way, then wouldn't it benefit us to dial things down to receiving mode? And, you know, again, this isn't about laziness. When we receive, we become more creative. And then you become more productive because you're creating more. See how that works? But if you're not feeling coherent or creative, it's simply because you haven't learned to live in the present moment yet. It's okay. You have time right now. You're eternal. So Jesus is walking me through this on the beach, and he said, see how easy this works? When I turned away from my own bag of efforts and I beheld and received his opulence in front of me, I was like, whoa, this is crazy. I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. He begins to show me immense wealth, immense treasures, immense love, overwhelming peace, overwhelming joy and gratitude. And all these things began to saturate my being, and almost to the point to where I felt like I was going to burst into a trillion pieces. And the beauty of this was, is that I was receiving. I couldn't do anything for it. It was him pulling the curtain back to show me that I had a choice to make. My own efforts, by grinding it out and forcing, or I could learn to receive and stay in receiving mode. And when we do that, you become blissful. You become peaceful, joyful. And then the goods begin to overtake our lives. So he's showing me it was all about his strength, all about what he gave from the foundation of the world, all about what he sent here with the goods to do. That's what the gospel is it's good news in every single way, not just money, but in every way. He gives, and he already gave. So it's learning, my friends, how to uncondition ourselves from trying to make something happen to receiving the events and the things overtaking us by living in the present and learning about heart and brain coherence, the Wi-Fi signal. So I'm walking down the beach in the book, and it's just overwhelming, right? He shows me this, but prior, let's back up a minute. Prior to us encountering this wall of just opulence, it's the only way I can describe it. I have no other word for it. It's just unimaginable opulence. It's just, you just don't have words. And prior to this, I'm walking down the beach, and I'm just walking next to my best friend that has no religious undertones or an ounce of religiosity in him. Not an ounce of Pharisaical stuff anywhere in him. It's just not there, my friends. And so I'm walking next to him, and I'm just loving life. I'm just going, oh, man. This is the Jesus I always knew to be true. This is the Jesus that I I'm so in love. The one I fell in love with on the inside, I can see it so clearly now. I can feel him. I can hear him. I can see him. And he's just having the time of his life. And anybody that doesn't think that Jesus has a sense of humor, you may want to ask him if you are connected with the right Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, there is an image of Jesus that religion portrays that is very, very much a very staunch Pharisaical type of Jesus. Is always demanding that we align with being perfect and all that kind of thing, and has no sense of humor. I tell you what, he has the best sense of humor, and he's always cracking up and cracking jokes and just has laughing and witty. He's just amazing, and he knows your personality better than you do. He knows what's going to make you laugh. It's going to be different than what makes me laugh, right? But he has this wonderful sense of humor to all of humanity. So get to know that Jesus if you don't know him. He's waiting for you. He always waits for you to engage him in all of his fun, all of his laughter. And I've never met a more fun God in my entire life. I mean, I just have come to know this fun-loving, fun, adventurous, humorous Jesus. And that's the real Jesus to me. So anyway, we're laughing and we're joking and we're cracking up, and he kind of bumps into my shoulder and slaps me on the back, you know, like a good friend would. And it's, I don't know, you know, if you know him that way, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we're having fun, and then all of a sudden he just reaches into midair. I mean, just pulls out this gold bar, and he goes, "Hey, here you go, you want this? How about this?" And he breaks it in half with ease. This big thick gold bar breaks it in half, like these huge ones, you know, like you would see sitting in a vault somewhere or on TV, these ones that weigh about 20 pounds, like a dumbbell. And he snaps it in half with ease and takes one part and gives it to me and says, "Here, take a half. Whenever you want the other half or need the other half, it's right there. Just reach in and grab it." And then I'm holding this gold bar, and I'm like, this is unreal. This is just, you know, my mind is saying it was unreal, but it was real. I mean, when I went into this vision, friends, of writing this book, I was literally holding like the weight of these things in the spirit. Like I was literally holding it in the natural. In fact, so much so, it felt so real that I thought, I opened my eyes, closed my eyes to feel it, and then I opened my eyes to thinking it was going to be right there. I thought it was going to manifest literally in my hands. That's how real it was. That's how tangible. So it's like, it was so easy for him to do. And why is that? You know, I had this conversation with him several times, and it's not in the book. I mean, I describe some of it in the book, but there's so much that you can't put it all in just one book, right? So I'm asking him, you know, over a period of time, and, you know, like I said before, it took me 2 years to write this, and normally it wouldn't take that long. I wrote another book in 6 weeks, and write them pretty easy. You know, if I sit down and I'm in that space, it just flows. And but this one, he wanted me to walk this out and learn and grow and shift my paradigm and my understanding through this whole time. So, you know, I'm asking him questions about this, and one of the main reasons why he could do it so easy is because he's always living in heart coherence. He is heart coherence, meaning that he lives in such a place of rest and ease and joy that his Wi-Fi signal, so to speak, is always connected with his brain. And that's why he is the mind of Christ. I mean, that is the mind of Christ. And so he's always in this heart coherence to where the magnet is strong. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and it's the strength of the magnet. It's the strength of the magnetism that goes around and surrounds our life. So if you're always 100% joy and you're 100% in a good mood all the time, you're 100% at rest like Jesus is and was, then you're going to pulsate a magnetism that is so strong that no wonder the disciples immediately fell in love with him. See, you're, in other words, the love is so tangible and so strong that it draws all men unto him, because the magnetism is always lifted up. And he'll draw all men unto him. And so when he drew the people in, it was because he was living in this state. And therefore, he could reach right into the next realm and pull out whatever he wanted. Just like the loaves and the fishes. Just like any other thing that manifested right in front of him. Healing, deliverance, whatever. It was there. He was a walking, living, moving pillar of magnetic love. And because he was trying to convey something to all of us through scripture and through the disciples when he walked in human skin through the earth, is he was saying, hey, friends, this is about feeling good. This is about joy. This is about belief in this, belief in the good news. Good news is good news. And when good news is present, you have bliss, you have intoxication, you have joy unspeakable, full of, you have all of these beautiful, wonderful elements swirling around your life constantly, and therefore it is magnetic. It is attractive. You ever see the attractiveness happen to you? And we're going to talk more about that in the next session. We'll see you there.